back, you guys, to my confidential corner. I am your hostess with the mostest. And this week, after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, I'm finally back doing what I hope is the best. And I really want to thank you guys for joining me this week. Now, if you've been following me up to this time, I want to give you a special thank you for dealing with not only me and my inconsistency, but that's really it, just me and my inconsistency. But this time, it wasn't my fault, kind of. So first off, I just want to say thank you for listening to this episode right now. And if this is your first time listening, go ahead and subscribe, rate the show 5 stars. Even if you haven't heard anything that I've said, you're going to like it, I promise. Just go ahead and do it. Thank you so much. It helps me so much. I'm slowly but surely reaching my goal, and by the end of this year, I want to at least have 150 listens per episode by the end of this year, and I think it's a goal that we can reach. I'm almost a quarter there based on the last episode, and if you have not heard the last episode, I would go listen to that. I had my special guest and dearest friend Cassidy on, and we chit-chat. I got exposed a little bit, and it was a fun time, so if you haven't heard that, go ahead, pause this, go back, listen to that episode, and then come on back. Don't worry, we'll wait for you. And honestly, I think that's a goal that could really make the year, because honestly, after the last year I fucking had, I'ma need it. Even though this year did start off a little bit rough and tough, I'm not gonna lie, had that bullshit with my roommate, really made shit go off on the wrong foot. But somehow we're going to bounce back. But I'm going to get y'all into the details on that bullshit real quick. So I know it's been like 2 months at this point. I don't even know. Like, when was the last episode? Like January? It was January 7th. At this point, it's been almost 3 months, I think. I don't know that math. I'm supposed to be good at math, but I don't know that math. But after that episode, literally after we stopped recording, we decided to get pizza, you know, to reward our hard work, eat, because we didn't eat that day. And at this point, my then roommate was not living there at the time, because I didn't really get into the details, but we had a falling out last November that led to us just not speaking at all. You are questioning how I could live with someone and not speak to them directly at all. It's very easy. Like, I grew up with siblings. You live that life if you have siblings. There's just a point in time where y'all are not talking. And it's like, that's nothing for me. She's had siblings too. So I feel like this is just reliving petty interactions I've already grown up with, you know? But at this point, she's caught COVID, and she had the decency to let me know, thanks, whatever. She was staying at her parents' house, so I kind of had free range of the apartment. But here's the thing. I owned all of the furniture in the living room. Majority of the things in the common space were mine, so I was going to spend my time there anyways. And we were recording the podcast. A couple days go by, and while I'm at work, unbeknownst to me, she goes by the apartment and she takes all these pictures, and this is her final straw. Oh my God, I just dropped stuff, but whatever. This was her final straw, and she had to just tell the sob story to her mother about how gross and disgusting I am. And mind you, if you looked at these pictures, this looked like just... Oops, stop the tape. Editing me here. Just to clear up some details for you. I failed to mention that throughout this whole time, there were several instances that happened before the grand falling out that kind of put her in the bad roommate category. Now, I'm not one to air out dirty laundry or anything, but there were several instances that were not fault of mine, but I just had to sit there and experience through her own decision-making processes. And I don't know why I keep saying processes, like I'm trying to make myself sound all educated or whatever. But there were points in times where some shit really got fucking serious. And I feel like she purposely came there, took pictures of all those things to try to paint herself in a victim light. And we can go on about how women in that certain status always use the fact of them being a victim in situations to avoid accountability in any situation and make anyone else in that situation seem like the one, the perpetrator, the antagonist of the situation, when in reality there's always two pieces to puzzles like this. And I'm not saying I was always right, because there were definitely times where there were definitely decisions that I should have thought more through, living with her included, but here we are. But that's just my reasoning on why I feel like she chose to do that. Back to the tape. A normal apartment where someone had pizza literally 2 days ago and they left the box on the counter and that is it. Like, there's nothing crazy, but I did have a little swede on the balcony out there. You know, it's a non-smoking property, so my anxiety pressure was going up a little bit. I was like, you're trying to play this thing? Are you serious? You had a dog randomly diarrheaing all over the apartment. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning one day and stepped into literal dog shit soup. Can you imagine waking up, walking out of your bedroom, and that's what you step in, and you have the audacity to call me? Not to get into anyone's personal living space, but we're not talking about a peachy clean, OCD clean person either, you know what I mean? But I feel like when you're living with a person that is also like, that's also neurodivergent in the sense where things are particular for them because of how they work, and there are two people living like that, it can be stressful to, you know, live with someone else like that. Because mind you, I've lived by myself 2 years beforehand. So I was just getting back into a roommate situation because I just graduated college and I'm moving into a new area that's a little bit more expensive than my $550 a month apartment back at school. So it was smart at the time, but obviously that wasn't the smartest long-term decision. But luckily, I'm now coming at you live. I don't know if this isn't live. I mean, it's live at the time of me recording this. But I'm coming at you in my new, beautiful, wonderful apartment with my lazy cat sleeping like he's a prince and he has nothing to do. It's a great time. I'm living it up. Truly love the space that I'm in. It's so much better. I have fucking hardwood floors throughout the entire living space, so I literally never have to worry about Tabasco picking at the carpet ever again. I don't know if you have a cat, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's so freaking annoying. I literally want to rip my hair out every single time I hear a little in the ripping and tearing of my carpet. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, and I don't have to clean this fur out of carpet. Like, that is amazing. I'm so excited. I'm finishing up the small decorating points. Like, I got all the main things. But still, in the middle of a pandemic, IKEA is a fucking shit show. You can't find literally anything. And I'm like, damn. I mean, I get it. Everyone is home. Everyone wants to redecorate. But fuck. You would think they would plan for this. We're a year in. You know, I don't know. Maybe this is just first world problem. It really is. I'm sorry. I'm being insensitive to the reality of the fact that people are still out here dying, and the incompetency of our government as a whole is what that is. Have y'all seen in the news talking? Who's that one lady? What is it? Dr. Bricks? Brickhouse dummy? I don't know. That dumbass bitch that basically had some authority or power to help the pandemic go in a more positive route, but they literally stood by and let thousands upon thousands of people die. Like, there were so many preventable deaths, but because of the the sheer greed, stupidity, self, I don't even fucking know. I don't have even the vocabulary to talk about the unbeknownst evil that is the American government and how they treat their citizens. But that's neither here nor there. Actually, pause. Let's get into it. Because I also want to talk about these recent mass shootings, because at this time, I'm glad I got it at this point, because if I was trying, I was trying to make several comebacks throughout these points in times, but it was really hard to try to talk shit about my roommate not knowing if she was there or not, you know? So I had to wait until the coast was clear. But during this little hiatus, there's been a spike of awareness. Let's say that, a spike of awareness, because the crimes against Asian Americans and Asian immigrants and just people of color in general have always been there. Even though the news and the perpetrator himself said it wasn't a hate crime, that's some fucking ass right there. You knew what the fuck you were doing. That's some fucking bullshit. We're gonna stop letting these white men get off trying to say that it was something else other than what the fuck it was. But because of yet another mass shooting, it's now highlighting the fact that these are the realities of people that are living in this country. And the spin on it now being a inter-minority group type of conflict. And I don't like this spin, because it's not really addressing the fact that how things are, how media and how the system perpetuates these violence against all people of color, but specifies them and cultivates them to a certain extent for certain people. There are ways of how people are, like, harms are being done to these minority groups, and how inter-conflict can also attest to that, but it's just using those conflicts regardless of the root of them, because some of them are also valid, because prejudices exist in every facet, every minority, every group. That is a thing. But this is all, I would like to think it's all attributed to white supremacy, creating that type of discourse, that type of stereotypes through media, through its overwhelming sense of Western ideals. Those prospects reach other countries. They already have an idea of how these people are seen in this country, other places. It's already been rooted there. So you come here with your already ingrained sense of how these different cultures are going to be working in this facet, and then it just goes from there. But not to take away from the true violence, I want to really give my heart out to the victims of that mass shooting, and then the other mass shooting that happened literally a week later. And I'm just like, it's been getting ridiculous. It was getting ridiculous once the fucking elementary school got shot up, because that's that elementary school, and the fact that people were thinking it was a fucking hoax. That is fucking ridiculous. Are you kidding me? A hoax? Are you serious? That's old news, but that right there really, my hope in humanity really shook that day. Because there's still hope. You have to have hope. You have to have hope that people as a whole, the majority, will do better. It's not everyone, but the majority. We're hoping that the majority will do better. That's ultimately what we are all fighting for. Because in any power structure, regardless of anything, there always needs to be a majority and minority, I feel like, with humans in general. But that's just my philosophy. But we're not going to be going on philosophical deep dives the entire episode, because I also want to get into something that's a little bit more fun, a little bit more light. I don't want to have everyone be like, fuck, like, this is what she talks about all the time. This is what the podcast is kind of going to be about, because I have my own tangents that I go on talking about, you know, everything. If you haven't heard the fifth episode, Welcome to the Revolution, I would go listen to that. I really get into that. Thank you. So before that, we're going to take a little break. A little breaksy. A little commercial breaksy. Because I need to figure out where to put these. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you for that little commercial break. So to jump back into it, I have been on my little hiatus trying to be a little bit more organized with how I do the show. So I do have somewhat of a script here to keep me on track and already.
Is this for their calendar or is this for Instagram?
I already posted something on Instagram and I'm in the middle of recording.
Oh. Sorry, I'm on a toilet. Okay.
Wait, you can keep... Sorry for the interruption. That was just the best friend being supportive in my endeavors and using the bathroom. But like I was saying, I've been trying to get a little bit more productive about how I'm running the show so I'm not hopping all over the place. If it has not been apparent, I have the tendency to go off track and on tangents. So to help curve that, I'm trying to structure ideas for me to go on little mini rants and everyone will understand what I'm where I'm going with this, you know? Because I don't know. My boyfriend says, no, you totally completely make sense, but I feel like he's biased. So you can't be telling your girlfriend that she makes no sense every time she talks, when in reality, half the time, that is the case. So to follow the little schedule I have here, I really want to talk about some hot button topics. Basically things I've saw on Twitter and I want to talk about. So, first things first. Have y'all seen that video with Quavo? Like, you already cheated. Allegedly. With prostitutes, and we're not diminishing sex work at all, but I feel like if you're a monogamous committed relationship, I feel like it's just a given not to partake in those activities when that's what y'all agreed upon on. But, you know, I guess trust isn't one of the things that the Cheetos. Did you hear they're calling the Migos the Cheetos? Which is fair and valid. And honestly, they could play, like, do a little collab with Cheetos, bounce back. I don't know. There's an idea for you. But there was a video where it's seen with Sweetie and him are, like, running in the hall into, like, the elevator. And you see her throw a punch first, but she's, like, running away from him and, like, throwing a punch, like, in a defense, like, you coming too close type thing. And she has this bag and, like, tries to run on the elevator. He, like, manhandles her, swinging her all about. She gets injured. She on the floor, just there in pain. He ain't doing shit. Just standing there like a man, not knowing shit, not doing shit, ain't good for shit. Not all men, you know. Love you, baby. I'm talking about you. But That was a lot, and I'm trying to figure out, one, how TMZ has their hands on it, two, how TMZ managed to get their hands on literally any and everything. Like, I don't know. I know for a fact, though, in the upcoming months, they're going to have some lawsuits on their hand just releasing all this information all willy-nilly with these anonymous sources and whatnot. Okay, Tabasco, damn. Sorry. He's getting upset about the situation too, because it's kind of crazy that one, that this even happened, knowing the fan base of both of them. Now you're gonna have them dismissing it because they're friends of Quavo, or, you know, everybody is already easy to say man and trash, so they're gonna have more hate from those who are on Tweety sides and saying, like, oh, she was defending herself, like, this is crazy. Not saying she wasn't, or she was, because we don't really know what the situation is. But from what it looked like, you know, it looked like a defense type of situation. I don't know. How men violence and is more of a norm, how much it's normalized already. It could be like that, so I'm not really sure, but that was crazy. But just moving on to something that's not as heavy as DV. Guess the what you call it, the brand tried to pull a fucking fast one on Telfla, and by the way, guess who just got their Telfla I'm so excited. I have my Telflerts on the way. Deadass 6 months from now, but I'm not mad about it because I've been waiting years. It feels like, I don't even know when they first started coming out of the bags, but it feels like I've been waiting years to get my hands on one of these bags. So I'm really excited that I got two locked down on the way in production, on its way to me. And y'all will be seeing me wearing it once I get it, and it's gonna be right before my birthday, so best believe it's just gonna be two interchangeable. I got a small one and a medium one, so the small one's just gonna be popping out the medium one. It's gonna be great. I'm so excited for Not to get sidetracked or anything, but the one thing I do have to say about my apartment is the fact that now, for the first time in years, literally, I am living underneath someone. So there is another element out of my control. No longer have the dense roommate, because I was going to use another word, but we're not going to try to get nasty over here. But now I have to worry about the actually heavy-footed, dense neighbors above me. Not dense as in intellect, but in terms of weight, because damn, them foot sound like solid stainless steel. Just clumping up there, you know? So hopefully you don't pick that up. I want to get some things to make the sound better. Maybe down the line a new mic, but let's try to keep this one consistent for once before we go off and making more impulsive splurges. But for the next hot button topic on the week, I want to talk about something serious, you guys. And that is where we are moving as a nation. So, as things are going along, states are opening back up surprisingly. We have some states out here that are allowing, they're saying no mask at all. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Texas. And y'all have the fucking gall after the shit show that happened during that snowstorm. I was out here, I had to really had to help my friends out that was living out there because of how fucked the state was, all purposely because they wanted to have their own grid system. They didn't want to be a part of the United States grid system. They wanted to have their own so they can prioritize their own electricity towards spaces that pay more for it. But whatever. It's another example of classism, capitalism, and white supremacy. And you can argue with your mother about it because that's not what we're talking about today. But as things are opening back up, we have a lot of states lifting regulations. They're now talking about schools opening back up. And you know what, some ass, and I really, really cannot get over this shit. I graduated last year, last spring. I was supposed to have my little ceremony. I was supposed to walk across the stage. And guess what? Nothing. Nada. I understand. I understand the time. I understand why things happened the way they did, but I'm still mad about it. And then on fucking top of that, they try to open back up schools. They were trying to do this all last year, right after the summer. And I was like, y'all. So now it's not like, oh, we have to protect the kids. We have to save the kids. Now it's fuck the kids. Now it's fuck the kids. And I think that's crazy. What the fuck? Oh my God, what was that? I don't know if y'all heard that buzzing. Oh, it's a blender. It's a blender. It has to be a blender. Which is fair. They might have an afternoon snack or something like that. Okay, so these are the things I'm gonna have to worry about. I am recording kind of later in the day. I literally had all fucking day to do this. I've been trying to establish a routine for myself. And, you know, we're going off on a tangent again, but here, stick with me. I promise we'll swing it back around as you hear my neighbors stomping around in the background. This is something you're gonna have to get used to, and you're just gonna have to get over it. I'm sorry. I love you, but get over it. Anyways, I myself self-diagnosed ADHD. Stick with me. It explains every issue, situation that I've had in my life. And I feel like I've mentioned this, especially on the last episode, that this is a self-discovery I found about myself. And the more that I've been learning about it, the more I've been trying to not erase it or say, like, oh, boo-hoo, there's a problem with me. Because honestly, I've been living this way my entire life. So all I'm trying to do is now manipulate it in a way that I'm able to control the impulsivity, the energy, the bouncing aroundness that I have, and trying to use it in a more productive, constructive way for it to actually benefit me instead of hinder my overall existence. Damn, not Tabasco was over here munching on his food like you weren't eating all damn day, and now you're eating because you see me sitting here. That's crazy. That's wild. So that, you know what? And we're just going to have to roll through it. But during all of those times, during that whole exploration of research and everything, trying to figure out how to make myself more of a productive member of society, even though I'm neurodivergent or whatever the term. Well, that is the term. I know the term. I don't know why I said that like that. But I want to have more structure in my life. I realize me, people like me, we need structure. We need things that we do, just a system. And there's all that I realize that I already put in place little systems. Even though I've been living here for like almost 2 weeks, I already have my little system of how I leave, of how I come home. Just the small things. Even though I still feel a sense of kind of unease because I'm not all the way unpacked yet, and I really hate that feeling. I hate a long time. You know, like you move somewhere and you still got some stuff lingering around. Fucking hate that shit. I want to get all that out of here, but I really don't have the time because I'm working all the time. Or if I'm not working, I'm lazily not doing anything because I deserve that. Because we do deserve that. Damn. I keep getting sidetracked. But what I was saying, routine, boom, was looking for routines to stabilize myself, basically. I was trying to get up at 8 a.m. I was trying to work out every day. I did work out for the last 2 days, but hey, it's a late day and I still haven't worked out today. So I'm trying to throw in some yoga after this to be somewhat, I don't know, consistent in this goal, even though it's not right after I woke up at 8 a.m. because I did wake up at 8 a.m. today. But then I realized, like, hey, I'm off from work. I deserve an extra hour, which turned into 3, and I got out of bed at 11:30. So already priorities askew. But these are the things I've been trying to do, especially now that I moved into this new place. I'm trying to organize my life in some sense, get a sense of some routine, some regulation. So I'm able to not only do the stuff I don't have to do outside of this, like work and that dumb shit, but pursue things that I do want to do, like continuing the show and continuing trying to become a better podcaster, because I know this shit is all over the place. But I really want to thank you all for just staying here and like listening to me as I rant and ramble, tumbling all over the place from thought to thought. But at least I hope I'm interesting and entertaining and something you can put on to just not really focus about your own things, you know? Some kind of escapism. Yeah. That's a sexy word. I like that. But to get back, I was on fucking Hot Topics. And you see this? You see how I diverged? You see how I like literally jumped down? But I looked at my script. Thank you. And I'm back on it. But yes, I didn't even finish what I was talking about with the routines. But long story short, you know those little videos that they have on YouTube that's like, I don't know. It's like, okay, you're on YouTube and you're like watching like, oh, my morning routine and my blah, blah, blah routine and all these little routines that I remember watching that really back in high school when they were really big. And I realized that how normalcy is portrayed in media has a lot to do with the root of my own stress in my life. And the reason that was is because that was coming from a completely different reality than I was living. Not only them being majorly white or white adjacent and living in a different tax bracket than I was from the jump, but also to do with literally brain processes. Like, to be able to do all of those things, there was a point in time, I know this is gross, but this is a reality, I'm sorry. And I saw this shit on TikTok and everyone was like, oh, that's so gross, like, you don't do that, that's crazy. But if you had ADHD, depression, things that really fuck with your day-to-day processes, you will forget to do basic hygiene things like brush your teeth. There was a point where my dental hygiene was spot the fuck on as a child. But that was mostly because my mom was in a lot more of a controlling space in my life at that point because I was a child. But as soon as those responsibilities were solely on me and there was a routine that I was expected to have at this time, but this was also a time in my life where I was going through, oh my gosh, so much. Middle school, parents fighting, you know, insecurities. Damn, a bitch is black in a predominantly white space. So that was a whole nother can of worms just thrown at it. And then we moved. And then I was some Florida girl living in Virginia. And that shit was not fun because if you don't know, Florida is like 8 years behind. And I'm pretty sure I've said this before. But things are kind of different there. And they were really different at the time of like 2010, 2011. Oh my goodness. They roasted the fuck out of me. It was so traumatizing. But all of these spaces of time where I turned to the internet to try to find a sense of normalcy or what I could replicate as normalcy in my own life started to create these other pressures that I wasn't living up to, and then comparison to my peers, all those things. I don't know why I lied and said this was going to be more of a fun hee hee ha ha episode. Everything I talk about ended up going like really dark, really sad, but it's Confidential Corner, guys. Like, this is shit I'm not sharing all the time, so we're gonna go there. And that's gonna be the feel of this show. I don't know. I'm still in the early processes of finding the identity of exactly what I want this to be, but I do know that it's gonna be revolving around me, revolving around my opinions and experiences. So if I'm talking from what seems to be an untouched space, or I'm not inclusive enough in terms of relating to everyone, I'm sorry to begin with, but that's not the goal of this. This is not to be super relatable. I'd love if people would relate to me in some aspects though, so I don't feel like a fucking weirdo. That would be great. That'd be awesome. But this is all coming from my own space. So when I say that I have ADHD, that's in terms of how I've learned and studied it and how all of those things have applied to me growing up. So, and probably could be shown just throughout this one little episode. I feel like I've become a lot more aware of how other people might perceive me, and that's the running thought in my head after I do or say anything. It's not like, oh, I'm afraid to be judged. It's like, oh, I know this is different from the norm. I know this is not what is probably considered the norm, and that awareness in itself and me addressing it sometimes can really throw people off because I'm like, one, why are you looking that deep into it? And I'm like, I'm an overthinker. This is what I do. This is how I work. So I did manage to get sidetracked going on a tangent for damn near 10 minutes about myself and my own issues. And even though it is my show, that's not what we had planned. So to get back on the hot topics and not the topics of my issues, we were talking about space being stupid and reopening just to shove kids back into schools so parents don't need to actually have the full-time responsibility of raising their children. And I'm like, hey, I get it. I personally don't even want children right now. I don't need that type of responsibility. But for those who choose to, and now we're in scenarios where they're forced to be with their children 24/7 post toddler age, I know it's a hard thing. Yeah, pay teachers more money. That's, if that's what we've learned, if we've learned literally fucking anything, pay teachers more. Because honestly, now you know. Now you fucking get it. You have to get it now. Anyways, well, during my little hiatus, I've been encountering several people with differing levels of self-respect. And for me, that goes hand in hand with self-worth. Because it's just a window to show how you see yourself, how you value yourself, what you tolerate. Truly, honestly, who you keep around is a reflection of not only values you might hold for yourself, but things that you will also condone. So, take that as you may. But if you're friends with terrible people, I got a new slash for you, baby girl. You're probably a shitty person. And look, I like to think all my friends are great people. So it's terrible and it's heart-wrenching when I see them participate in things that I would never condone or would never do. And me being the judgmental bitch that I am, I say something. It doesn't always pan out well. And sometimes I can be a little bit too rigid because every day I learn that my Southern conservative upbringing really had a grip on how I view things, even though I think I'm just some radical ass hippy dippy girl. In true aspects, I'm not. But it's a learning process. It's a learning curve and I'm growing every day. Be proud. But in terms of how you judge your peers, there are ways to do it, and there are nice ways to do it. And then there's things that sometimes there are things you won't do, but that's not necessarily give you an area to judge in the first place. Some things I will fucking judge you on, you know? But other things, you know? But if you happen to, like, be into sugaring, or you got an OnlyFans, or you have other questionable means of making income that most people might judge you, I can't judge that, you know what I mean? But just to fill in, I definitely don't mean, like, organized crimes and shit like that, anything where people gotta die or shit like that, and organized white-collar crimes, the people on Wall Street, fuck them, people that prey on other people's downfall, fuck all that shit. But I was talking about, you know, like, if you sell a weed on the side or something like that, or you start your own little hair business, you know what I mean? None of that other shit, just as a clarification. Because get your bag. This world is crazy, and you gotta live in it, and it ain't fucking free. I can't judge you. But if your friends are going around calling people colored, like we're still in the Jim Crow era, or just blaming you for obscene things, and you're forgiving them and hanging out with, like, that's, I think that's a weird thing to condone, or to be friends with, or to see someone do and just hang around them. Like, you know, I know these are very wide ranges of things, but they're very specific to me. And not saying I have any friends like that, thank goodness I don't, but I have experienced people that have friends like that. And seeing mutuals of people that I were friends with had me questioning that friendship. But it also had me questioning their self-respect, like their self-worth, because, you know, everyone has their own autonomy. They have their own story. They have their own you know, identity. But at the same time, we are social creatures at the end of the day. There are also connections that also matter, regardless of your autonomy, you know? So when you have connections to multiple shitty people, those just make your own autonomy seem shitty, if that makes any sense. If that is scientifically adding up, I don't know the science behind it, but I feel in my heart of souls that that is correct, because it is correct. A great fucking example of self-respect is one of my favorite podcasters and podcasts, Sophia with an F, Sophia Franklin. That girl right there had true self-respect, and she shows it every time I listen to her. Truly, I love her, and if you've been listening, I don't know who's been listening, but if you have been listening, you know I've had an episode, one of my very first episode, actually about the fallout that happened between Alice Cooper and Sophia Franklin on during their, like, Call Her Daddy days, because they were both co-hosts on the podcast together. And there was this huge falling out where Sophia was the bad guy. And I have to admit, I was on the bandwagon. I was out there hating her with the rest of them and thinking she was out here doing all this shit for a guy. But in reality, she had self-respect and she had self-worth. She knew her self-worth. And she practiced that and she demanded nothing less. And that was an issue. And you have bitches like Alex Cooper, and I don't know why I said it like that, because I was like, should I hesitate to say her name, but no, fuck that. You got bitches like Alex Cooper who will fold at the hands of men above her in authority positions. Some bitches just don't have the backbone like that, and that's okay. You know, get your bag as you may, because she's still out here doing her thing, making her coin, using her new replacement, Lauren, her best friend of long time or whatever. I think it's interesting that now this is her time to shine, and we're using the fact that she's now single to revive the show. But that's cool. It's interesting. I'm listening to it. I'm here for it. But it can be said that if that wasn't a factor, the show would be a lot less interesting. Her by herself. I don't remember listening. I can't even remember a podcast of her by herself. Like, she's made one, but it hasn't been interesting enough for me to remember it. Unlike Sophia, on the other hand, the personality, the talent, I love, I stan. I truly had to listen to her first episode to get corrected. She had to put me in my fucking place, and she did. She corrected what I thought I knew, and she really gave us the deuce that I needed. And it really gave me a fuller picture, honestly, because understanding now her point of view, because it's like I've been in a multi-million dollar deal where contracts were involved or anything like that, but in very smaller micro versions, I feel that and I understand where she was coming from. And I understand the fact that I literally have been in groups with bitches like Alice Cooper. They feel like if they throw their self in so much so into the project, that means that they have given the most to it. But just, it's like quantity over quality type thing. Alex brought the quantity, but Sophia brought the quality. And that's really what it was. That's really where the dominoes fell. So when it got to the point where Sophia realized, probably as a whole, because she was including her girl, like, no, we should do more because we have quality stuff. We meeting her, but they had quality stuff. And Alex playing that, you know, and I really want to think about this. I want to talk about this because learning more about Sophia, because I really didn't know much about them in terms of being people. Like, I knew kind of sort of more about Alex, but not really about Sophia and like her background. Like I knew she was from Utah, but nothing. I'm thinking like, oh, she's just like one of those weird like Mormon people or something. But her mom's actually immigrant from somewhere. I don't want to say where, some random country. I don't want to get it wrong, but it was somewhere Latin country. I'm pretty sure. That'd be really awkward if it was like a Portuguese kind of, hopefully Latin, and I'm right. But from there or whatever. And, you know, single mom. And I'm like, I don't really know like income dynamics or whatever, but I understand that dynamic. I understand that single mom, there is a certain level of oomph of being an ethnic single mother in this country, and the child that can produce in comparison to a traditional white girl from a traditional family in fucking Connecticut, Pennsylvania, whatever the fuck, Northeast. You know what I mean? That type of, there's just going to be a difference in the type of girls they are. They're going to relate because, you know, Sophia is very white passing, and that in itself has its own privileges and things like that, but it can still be seen as other because they know what's different at the end of the day, you know? So, but that can also go into how they move forward, even in relations. We can talk about how white feminism is what it is, and how it's perpetuated in how white women move in relation to white men in terms of relationships, business, power, whatever. But I don't feel like doing all the technical research to really get all that right. So we're just gonna go with the fact that Alex is a pick me and Sophia was about that bag. And that's that. And that's that. And that is what that is. Because if you're working for Barstool Sports, I was really truly there for the content, listening to Barstool Sports, because I tried following it my freshman year going to college because I wanted, yep. Tabasco. Stop it. God, I can't even do my, like, you see this? You hear this? He just wants to, why is he trying to open? Crazy. Stop it. Okay. I don't know, he's trying to go or something. But, like I said, during my freshman years, I joined, you know, the Barstool Sports social media pages, you know, and trying to get that college exposure, trying to prepare myself to go to a PWI like Radford. If you didn't know, I'm a Radford alum, and like, shout out of the university. But I ended up going there, and I remember like following the pages and understanding exactly the demographic they were going for and who they were dog whistling out. And if you know what the term dog whistling is, you know what the fuck I mean. If you don't know, Google. And I was just like, interesting. And after a couple months, I definitely unfollowed, you know, especially because I was like, I really don't need to see this frat boy shit, because I have a front row seat right here at school. I'm good. But I realized that after like finding the show or whatever, that they were under Barstool Sports. And I was just like, this is really interesting. Like, I wouldn't expect a show like a show, two female hosts, on being distributed like a place like Barstool. That's crazy. And then now listening to the show more, as it went on, you understand where it started off and why it was for that demographic. But then as the show progressed, because the girls are their own people, they also wanted to progress. They wanted to talk about more things. You can only talk about bare minimum, like, common denominator shit. You know what I mean? You're going to have to get more interesting. And then you have a large female following. Like, they don't want to just hear about dumb shit that has to do with sex all the time. Like, some of it was useful, but most of it was for the male pleasure or the male gaze or some dumb shit like that. And honestly, majority of our life is not only about that. Like, what about the interconnection of other girls? Like, relationship is not the only thing and the only aspects, you know what I mean? So even though that's like, it's a sex podcast, like that was the branding of the show. So if anything, they stayed in the genre, like I get it, but at the same time, people grow. They're going to want to branch out even just a little bit. Like, even if it circles back around to it, like, sometimes they want to just get into different things. So, either way, and it was not even, like, now... Oh my God, I just burped. Okay. But seeing that that was where they originally started off, and seeing that Sophia was really the main one trying to move forward and trying to move past that, because that's not really where her, not to say morals, but her, maybe her views or beliefs, her core really lied in line with that distributing company. Like, they probably weren't, because she now on her show on Salute Media, she's her own media company, love it, Sophia with the F, check it out, like, I love her. Super inspiring. And it's, I mean, it's a little rough around the edges if you don't like super, like, I don't know, detailed stuff. But if you're grown and you don't care, you'll love it. So on her show now, she has this air of just female liberation, but in the most complete sense. Like, she was doing collabs with other podcasters out here. Like, she did it with this one black podcast show called Horrible Decisions. I started listening to them, like, oh my gosh, like, Call Her Daddy but better, and they're black and they're queer, and I'm loving this, and I can relate to this so much more. And it's funny that when they were together and when they were doing that show, they never had any real interactions with other podcasts like that. And the fact that that's where she and I, probably not by their own doing, like, probably because Marcel's source is like, no, that's not for this frat house branding that they have. So the fact that that's where she branched off to, and Alex really just wanted to stay.
Stop it. I'll do it. Stop it.
I'm sorry. I had to threaten to spray my cat since he can't stop trying to go in the cabinet. But like I was saying, since Alex chose to stay with the same place that's not really for female liberation for real, like how she's really masking it, I feel like the actions are speaking louder than the words, because on her podcast, that's what it may seem, as she might believe that in her truest heart, but her actions doesn't scream that for me. Like, Barstool Sports, really? And if you don't know the page I'm talking about, just go to their Twitter, go to their, Instagram, like, what else is there? But go to that. Let's just scroll through the page. You'll understand the demographic I'm talking about. And to know that that's where the base arised from, like, young college girls, but young sorority girls, like, that was that base. It branched out, you know, because people are people. They interact, they connect with other people, and they're like, oh my God, you listen to this podcast, and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's how things grow. And then normal media doing what it does is sending it out to people. And it's just really interesting that that's like who she chose to stay with, and it just gives me really pick me energy, truly. But you know what, still gonna listen to the show just because I want to know. I'm curious now. I'm kind of involved with Lauren's situation now. Like, I find her relatively entertaining. And I'm just like, why wasn't she on the show to begin with? Like, there's another podcast that I listen to that has three girls on it, and it's new. So they're still new to it. So it's just more of a, like, and just a new podcast. It's people learning and stuff like that. But, like, it's doable. So I'm just like, why don't you, like, multiple people are on other podcasts. Like, why wasn't she on it originally? I feel like that would have been a good dynamic. Or, like, honestly, just scratch Alex and just Lauren and Sophia. But they weren't, you know, that's whatever. I really don't hate Alex Cooper, I promise. It's just, I feel like other decisions could have been made. And she's kind of like, it's just, I felt like she, it's like more annoying because I don't know. I feel like she's trying to, she's kind of like overdoing it in terms of trying to create a personality, but it just comes up really obnoxious and annoying. Like that one girl at the party. Oh my God. I just thought about one person from the New Year's party. If you listen to my seventh episode, I don't know if anyone's listened to my seventh episode, but I talk about New Year's in there, and that was really funny because there was a really obnoxious girl there, and she gives me Alex Cooper vibes. But that's besides the point. In terms of self-respect, Sophia had that, and I don't think Alice Cooper did to the terms of really believing that she could go off and do. She was really capable of going off away from this other big media company to do that. But Sophia really did. She really had that, and she knew her worth. And I really commend her, applaud her, we stand, I love it. But in terms of how that manifests in your life, like there, that is a way it manifests in your life. Your self-respect, how you view your and value yourself, goes directly into every facet of your life. Not only how you interact with people, but also your jobs, your career, what you find yourself doing for the rest of your life, what you want to end up doing for the rest of your life, and how determined you are to get there. Like, you can have dreams, you can have aspirations, but are you even giving yourself the leeway to do that? Do you, are you making your own self stagnant? Are you even trying at all, you know? And I'm meaning in terms of where you realistically are. I know that there are outside external variables that make shit so much harder for us to just grow, live peacefully. So I mean that like in terms of like varied on your current situation. But in terms of things are going relatively well for us being still in a fucking pentagon, like, how are you moving forward? I'm trying to, by trying to sustain myself in some way in terms of making a routine, get a better job. Oh my God, get a fucking better job. And here we have another example of self-respect. And this is in the sense of someone that has none at all. So, earlier this year, actually like last year, there was a guy that I met, Crab Cake Guy. I don't know if I mentioned him, I probably did. Long story short, it got to the point where I was working for him, and I'm like, okay, cool. Working for him, he's obsessed with me. I don't want his old ass because gross. Trying to be professional, he's throwing money at me, and he's a narcissist, so I have to hear him talk about himself all the time, and it's just him talking himself up and talking about the influence he has around himself. He talked about his friend passing and only how it affected him, and I'm just like, okay, but I don't understand what this has to do with anything. And he was just like, it's just weird. I feel like it's weird when people bring up really deep things about other people and talk about their own greatness and respect to that, like how they valued the situation. That's exactly what I'm saying. He would bring up like that and how he, like, I don't know. It's like main character syndrome, but on fucking methamphetamines. It's very interesting. He is the main character of his show. He is the main character of his delusion. And mind you, I'm not in the place. I'm really not in the place. Like I said, we're in the middle of a freaking prison, right? So financially, I'm not in the place to deny money. So when old delusional men from my workplace are throwing money at me, am I going to say no? No. No. But here's the thing. My patience is only so thin. You know, I can't tolerate everything for so long. I try to fool myself and think that I can't. I try to think that I'm better than that. And I'm like, I can do better. I can be better. I'm just going to take the high road on this one. But you know what? I saw this TikTok that said, hey, life too short. Punch that bitch today. And that's how I feel majority of the time. Because then he likes to do this thing where he thinks he knows me. That is the fastest way to end up on my mental hit list. Like, you don't know who the fuck I am. Everyone gives themselves to people in pieces. They choose the respect that the person is going to see them. They have their settings on, and some people are a little bit more loose with the settings. They're showing their full self, you know, real, true, genuine. But majority of the times, you're only getting a fraction of the person. You're only learning the person that I want you to learn. You don't know shit. You are just obsessed with me. There is a difference. So when it comes to dealing with delusional men, talked about this before, can be a very touchy situation. It can also be different when these men have a very bright streak of narcissism running through that fucking narrative in their head. So dealing with this can be a very tricky and or dangerous situation, because at the end of the day, you really never know who you're interacting with. Me, in my special case, I wish a bitch would truly, honestly, we gonna out crazy each other, truly. Let's see what happens. But as like a tell all, like a, you know, advice type of thing, it's kind of one of those things you really gotta watch out for. Because one, we already touched on how just male violence in general is at an all-time high. I'm hearing again about another mass shooting. It's fucking crazy how, and then the Quavo situation and all, it's just all these examples of men violence. On top of that, you have people delusional out here, like Crabcake Guy. I was working for him because his job was a good job. Like, that position, relatively speaking, in terms of like resume building and everything, like what I learned from it and what I could have like taken from it and how it could have propelled me in my career, I was like, I may just have to risk it. But then it got to a point where like he was not, like, my boundaries are so serious, and I'm so serious when I talk about them and when I set them in place. If you breach them at all, you're deaded. That's it. And that was it. Like, after the first time I blocked him, that was it. But then he apologized, like, after not speaking to me for months. He, like, comes into my job on, like, New Year's and apologizes, tips me nicely, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe there's some growth here. But I fooled myself. Because one, he's too fucking old for growth. They say old dogs can't learn new tricks. I believe that truly and fully, because it was the same thing. And it was one of those things that I saw. It's like what you see in toxic relationships. But this wasn't a fucking relationship. This is just a delusional fan interaction that I was trying to take it advantage of, but it ended up taking advantage of my nerves, and I literally could not deal with it. Had to get over it, try to get past it, but here we are again with him sending me more money, like, because he has, like, my Zelle, and I was like, I'm like, could I block him on Zelle? I could. But why not keep him blocked and continuing collecting these payments by just simply ignoring him? I'm going to do that instead. But in dealing with people like this, when you're being clear about your boundaries and they're choosing to ignore it or misconstrue it or rewrite the narrative for themselves, you need to take note of that. And you need to make sure you're watching, because people like that, don't trust. Don't trust. You don't let them back into your space. And I really take that shit seriously. I might give a chance, maybe two, and that's a fucking stretch for me. Unless I was, like, truly in the wrong. But I wasn't in this respect at all. I definitely was like, hey, if I'm working for you, don't randomly text me about shit I don't care about. Anything about your children, it doesn't have anything to do with me. You're texting me like past business hours about random shit, doesn't have anything to do with me. You're sending me random emojis when we're supposed to be talking about business. That shit doesn't have anything to do with me. So when I point it out and I correct it, and then he would like get upset and blow up, and it always felt like my job at this point was on the line. And I was like, you know what? Nah, don't need this. And then he ended up, like, quote unquote, firing me. I mean, yeah, he did. But he fired me while I was moving here. And I was like, you know, that's crazy. But this is the delusion and the self-respect. This is where this comes in. Because I was like, you know what? Fuck that. Don't need that. If I have to grind harder, I will. Find another job, I will. And we're just going to go about that, you know? I'm just going to move forward with that. But then, out of fucking nowhere, I get a Zelle notification. And I'm like, ain't this funny? Look at you. Look at you. Because here's the thing, regardless of all those things, because I kept it professional, I was actually relatively really good at the job that he had me doing. And I was running the shit. And now he has to deal with all the stuff that I was doing. And obviously he can't handle it, because now he zelled me that day and then the very next day the same amount. And I'm like, whoo, whoo, whoo. I mean, yay, I'm paying rent on time, but all of this for what? You firing me because you couldn't handle that I wasn't persuaded by any of the delusions you're trying to force on me, or any of the, like, any of the ideas that he would try to put out there and was not comfortable with. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I shut that shit down real quick. I don't pussyfoot around shit like that. You don't leave windows open for people to do that. Because I felt like he had the upper hand on me, but no. Entirely too smart. You gotta be smarter than the players that you're working with. Truly. Especially when it comes to old white men in that type of power dynamic situation. And I would point that out to him too when I went on my little tangent after he quote unquote fired me, and I was just like, you're just trying to use your power over me and your wealth to try to put me in a space where I'm dependent on you and blah 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 blah, you know, just reading him for filth, really showing him that I had taken a sociology class or two while I was at school, so I know what the fuck is up, you know. But do I use those dynamics to my advantage? Fuck, I try to, honestly, because I try to take advantage of any advantages that I have, since I'm living in a system where it's going to try it every way to disadvantage me. So that's just how the fucking dominoes fall in that case. But the self-respect for him, like that, I think it's pitiful that you're zelling someone that doesn't want to speak to you, that wants nothing to do with you, just to get their attention. They can't throw money at problems. I mean, you can continue to try. I do have a price, but he has not reached anywhere close to that. So that's that for that. And that is going to be me wrapping it up. I want to thank you so much, guys, for chilling with me for this good little hour. That's my little first episode back or whatever. Thank you so much again, truly. Your patience, your time, your listens, all of that. If you want to further help support me or the show, there's like listener support, whatever the fuck. So you can do that if you wanted to, you know. And, you know, tip during the pandemic. Always tip your servers. Don't forget. Please tip your servers out here. Please do it. Literally, don't forget. Subscribe. Like, rate 5 stars, whatever the fuck. Share it with your mama, your sister, your brother, your mister, yeah, everybody. I'm gonna catch you guys next week, even though I always say that and then I always end up just going and disappearing, and I'm so sorry about that. But this time I promise I will come back next week. I promise. I pinky peeking promise. My boyfriend's gonna hold me to it, okay? Thank you, and we're out.